From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world via podcast on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Love our affiliates. Love everybody joining us here. A wet, nasty start to April, but we've got spring turkey season opening up in Michigan on April 18th. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to some steelhead action before too long. And looking forward to getting out and freshening up those lucky buck sites, because right now, and we've been getting pictures. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on, but we've been getting pictures from around the U.S. of deer still holding on to their antlers, man. Some of them just starting to drop off. Now, we know they normally typically drop off February, March-ish, but to have them into April is really kind of odd. And we're going to talk to Doug Roberts from Conquest Deer Sense, the deer professor, in a little bit to find out what's going on and how funny this last year has been. Also going to talk with Lucky Miller from Countryside Kennels and Lucky Dog Charters about shed hunting with dogs. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Thanks again to Lucky Buck for getting on board with us here on Wild Michigan. Also want to thank our friends at Darton Archery and, of course, Costa Sunglasses. So we're going to talk right now about getting kids outdoors fishing, putting down the Xbox, picking up the tackle box, as it's been said before. And John Hesse, we had a chance encounter yesterday. Good to talk to you, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Duran.
Excellent. Now, my good friend Pat Pixley, who's an insurance man, just happened to have you in front of him, hands you the phone, and you have no clue what's going on. And that has led you to this conversation. And we're going to talk about your website and your organization. FishinMichigan.org is the website where you can find all the information we're about to talk about. But you have the Dr. Bill Earl Youth Fishing program coming up, and this is a very big event just by itself without the publicity. But if you would please give us a little info on that big fishing deal you have coming up soon.
Yes, the first three Saturdays of May each year we have three workshops for kids age 5 through 16 to teach them the basics about fishing and ethics and regulations and all that. This year, the dates are May 7th, May 14th, and May 21st, and we hold our workshops at Hawk Island County Park off of Cavanaugh in Lansing. We work very closely with the Ingham County Parks people, and they're a tremendous partner with us. So those are coming up fairly soon, and we're pre-registering kids right now for these events. The events are open to about 60 kids each week. We would like to have more kids participate, but we want to have a quality program, so we limit it to about the first 60 that get pre-registered.
And that's a pretty good deal. That's a very nice park. It's got a good-sized lake on it, and very easily accessed with docks and with shore fishing, and the fishing quality is very good as well. So what are some of the things that you guys are teaching them at this event?
Well, when they arrive in the morning about 8:30 to register, we have live macro invertebrates that we collect from local lakes and streams on display, and the kids can look at those critters and figure out what they are, and we have volunteers there that can help them. And we also have live sea lamprey there to try to introduce the kids to the concept of invasive species and how dangerous they can be to our fish in the Great Lakes system. And once we get everybody registered and we welcome the kids there in the morning, we split the kids into three groups. And one of the groups will go to a rigging station where the kids learn how to tie knots and rig their own rod and reel for getting ready to fish. We give them a rod and reel at that time that they're able to keep and take home with them. when they check in, we actually give them a tackle box full of stuff, and it has the hooks and split shots and bobbers and everything they'll need, plus a lot of other stuff. And so at that station, they actually are able to learn to tie a knot with their eyes closed before they leave there. And then we move them on to a casting station where they learn how to make safe cast, underhand cast, so that they're not casting over their shoulders and snagging whoever might be walking behind them. And that's always a fun time for the kids. We use a game called Backyard Bass to teach them how to cast, and it makes it a fun event. You see their tongue sticking out, and they're concentrating on being able to hit that target out there in the grass, and they really, I think, enjoy that about as much as they do later fishing. Once they learn how to cast, then we move them to a station with conservation officers present where they learn about rules about fishing, how to use the fishing guide, how to identify fish, how to measure fish, why it's important to follow the regulations. So they learn a little about ethics of fishing and just being good human beings. And once they get all of those three lessons completed, we give them bait and send them down to the lake, and we have a lot of volunteers there to help. For 60 kids, we have an average of 50 volunteers available to help them all along the way, and they get to fish the rest of the morning. We do require a parent or a guardian to be with the child at all times, and that way we actually are capturing two generations at once, teaching the parent or guardian to fish and learn all of those things as well.
John Hesse is our guest here. The website, fishinmichigan.org. And again, that's F-I-S-H-I-N, michigan.org. John, listening to some of that stuff, I can tell you, I could probably use that whole knot class myself because I'm still stuck on the same one I've been using for years. Although it's been effective, I wouldn't mind learning a few of the new fancier ones.
Well, we teach very basic stuff to these kids. Many of them are first-time fishermen, and we don't want to overwhelm them with a whole bunch of knots. So we teach them the basic knot that will serve them very well for a long time.
And that's great. And you're looking, again, this fills up rather fast, but and keeping it, what you said earlier about 50 volunteers to about 60 kids, that really keeps a good, close, personal touch on this whole event.
It certainly does. And over the years, we've been able to get volunteers that are very caring people and ones who will really interact with each kid and show them what's in their tackle box when they get it and what each item in the tackle box is used for, and get down there and show them how to bait their own hook and how to take fish off their own hook. And parents are really amazed when they're finished with the class and the kids are teaching their parents how to take the fish off.
Speaking with John Hesse here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and we'll post some information about fishinmichigan.org, talking about the Dr. Bill Earl Youth Fishing Program coming up 3 weeks in May. That is going to be quite the event, I'm sure. And we're going to talk more about that, more about how you got involved with this here coming up in a little bit. Is there a number, if somebody just doesn't have a computer, which is I know is rare, but is there a number or anything people can call, John?
Well, they can always call me. I don't mind personal telephone calls to my home. The number is 517-626-6194. And the way to get registered and get more information is to go on site at the Fenner Nature Center website. And that's mynaturecenter.org.
Okay.
And they need to, people that want to participate this year need to go on there and get pre-registered very quickly because the classes are nearly full.
All right. Hey, John, hang on a second. We're going to talk more with you in a bit. John Hesse, fishinmichigan.org. Thanks again to Lucky Buck Deer Mineral for hooking us up here on Wild Michigan.
Thank you.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, and I want to say a great, big, huge thank you to our friend Alex Gilstrom of Scentlock. Alex will be leaving Scentlock after many, many years, and we'll continue on with our affiliation with our friends at Scentlock. Alex moving on to Whitetail Properties, which another big opportunity has opened up for him. But Alex, of course, took the place of the late Mike Andrews in marketing for Scentlock. And both guys, man, both guys have done so much for us here. We cannot thank them enough. And we are very, very happy and excited about Alex's new venture. And I'm sure the folks at Scentlock are too. I mean, because it's a great organization. Alex is a great guy, and Whitetail Properties is picking up a quality person. So thanks again to Alex Gilstrom, and congratulations to Whitetail Properties for picking him up. Now we're going to come back, talk to John Hesse right now, fishinmichigan.org, the Dr. Bill Earl Youth Fishing Program coming up in May. It's going to be a big time for a bunch of kids. And this is, John, again, I want to get back to a little bit about the event, because this, like you said, is a lot of first-time anglers. Here we live in Lansing. We have probably one of the greatest river systems in the state for fishing with the Grand, and it's just something a lot of people drive over, and they don't realize what quality fishing opportunities are there.
That's right. We have more rivers in this area, more sites on rivers than we do lakes, but we also have some very good lakes within a 30-mile radius of Lansing, and several wonderful parks right here in the city of Lansing and the area around here through the county park system of both Ingham County, Clinton County, and Eaton County. And all three of those county parks departments are involved with this program.
And that's amazing, too, that we have inner city kids that don't fish. I know it's possible, but for me, it never seemed possible because everybody in my neighborhood did it. But who are some of the other people involved with this event? Because you mentioned a gentleman, Mark Stevens, that we know that's been very involved about getting, you know, teaching about fish in the schools.
Yes, Mark Stevens, who's a coordinator for the Project Fish program at Michigan State, is a very important part of our program. He's able to get us the free tackle that we give to the kids at a very low cost to us so that we can make it available to the kids. He also teaches part of our lessons at each of the events, and he has the experience that we needed to get such a program going. So he's an integral part of it, and in return, I volunteer for a lot of his clinics and things he does with kids in the area. So it's a good partnership. And the DNR Fisheries Division and the DNR Law Division, they're both involved. They provide educational materials. They provide the conservation officers that come out to each of the events and talk to the kids about ethics and rules and so on. And I mentioned that the three county parks programs in Ingham and Clinton and Eaton County are involved. We have some great other partners, Fenner Nature Center that offers their services to get the kids pre-registered, Trout Unlimited, another local fishing group, and the Red Cedar Fly Fishers, another fishing group here, are partners with us and help us with funding, and a lot of the volunteers come from their organizations. The Retired Senior Volunteer Program in Lansing, they do a lot of the back behind the scenes work. Big Nature Lesson Programs, Margaret Holtzlag is very much involved, and she works with kids all of the local schools, and through that we are able to work with teachers in the area and get kids registered that way. Those are just some of the partners that we have. It's just a tremendous group of individuals that I have helping me.
You know, we've talked to Mark in the past, and he was very involved with a salmon project, with salmon in the schools, allowing kids to see how they kind of go about being, what the process is of them you know, from eggs to fry to being the little fingerlings and then releasing them. I mean, that to me is such an important thing that isn't taught just in general anymore.
That's right. So we try to carry on much of what Mark is doing and his other programs with as part of our program. And when we have live sea lamprey at our program, we take those live sea lamprey during the week and put them into these schools that have salmon in the classroom activities and aquaria. And we actually put those live sea lamprey in those elementary schools and let the kids and teachers study them all throughout the week. And then we pick them up again for the following Saturday and move them on. And then when some of these schools are releasing their salmon out in the Red Cedar or wherever their release site is, we take macroinvertebrates and the live sea lamprey there and meet with the kids. And that's just the kind of relationship we have with Project Fish and Salmon in the Classroom and these other programs.
John Hesse is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast and check out all of our sponsors on there as well. We have a list of everything and a list of things upcoming on the website. And join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. John, this is an amazing thing you guys are doing. It is the Dr. Bill Earl Youth Fishing Program going to take place at Hawk Island County Park just off Cavanaugh Road in Lansing. Again, a great facility. I mean, they have pavilions and they have, again, the big lake there. And it's stocked pretty well from what I've seen and very accessible.
Yes, the kids catch a lot of bluegill, of course, but there's always a stray perch that gets caught, a few crappie, red ear sunfish, and every once in a while one of the kids will scream and they've got on a nice bass. And last year one of the youth brought in about a 4-pound bass. Boy, was he excited.
Yeah, I've seen such fish. I've seen them when I've walked that trail out there. When, you know, in the summertime when you have a nice walk, we'd take a walk down by the shoreline there and a great big one would kind of troll through. And of course, it's always days that I don't have any gear.
Now, this is actually a good time to get out there on the lake at Hawk Island because the crappie are biting now, and you can catch a limit of crappie out there. They do rent boats at Hawk Island Park for the general public, and you can row out there and catch your limit of crappie or fish for bass or whatever.
Well, that's awesome because, you know, I mean, I'm about tired of looking at this rain, but the minute it quits, I only live a few minutes from there, and I'll be heading over there myself. I tell you, John Hesse, I appreciate your time. Again, the website, fishinmichigan.org. That's F-I-S-H-I-N, michigan.org. And if you want to call John, you can reach him at 517-626-6194. Get yourself registered. All that info is on the website, correct?
Yes, it is. And I do want to make the point that our club, we're a very small club. We meet monthly at the Finley Steakhouse down on South Cedar, 6300 South Cedar in Holt. And anybody's welcome to come to those meetings. We'd love to have new people.
All right. Thanks so much, John Hesse, fishinmichigan.org. Brought to you in part by our friends at Dart and Archery. Thanks so much. This is Wild Michigan. Got a lot more coming your way here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Looking forward to turkey season, man. I hear Cuz's voice, and I've been watching the roads, waiting for turkeys. And on the 18th of April, we will be out in the woods. Sarah Marie and myself will be taking that Monday off and going out and doing some hunting. And hopefully, my biggest goal this year is to get her first turkey. Because I know what that's like, and that wasn't that long ago for me, and I definitely want to do that. But right now, we're going to speak to our good friend Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense, the deer professor. Doug, We made it through. We made it through the year, but a lot of big antler deer did not. And as always, man, you called this. You said last year was going to be a perfect year for big antlers. Now, mind you, we didn't have big numbers as far as a deer kill for the last year, but there were a lot of big bucks taken, man. Welcome back. How you been?
Oh, I've been great. Thanks. It's good to be back with you. How you doing?
You know, I think we had that 20-minute conversation before we got to this point. Stuff that nobody else wants to hear, you know. But it was, you know, it was not a successful year for us last year. But the people that were successful took some very big antler deer last year.
Well, the weather last year, the growing season was a beautiful growing season for antlers. You had, you know, warm weather, a lot of moisture, so the moisture was in the plants that they were eating, so digestibility went up. So the quality of antler growth was tremendous. And, you know, herd management, we're starting to see that show up in the areas where they have antler restrictions, point restrictions. And so the quality of the antlers that hunters are harvesting is getting better for those different reasons.
Now, we're going to have people say, you know, I'm a meat hunter, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. You know, Michigan, look, I love our DNR. I love, you know, I like the Natural Resources Commission, but I really think this is on a personal level that we need to go to a one buck tag. I really do. And that's just me personally. It's not, you know, me standing up for any organization, but I'm just looking if we want to compete or have the same opportunities that Ohio, even Indiana, places like, well, I'm just going to say Ohio, Indiana, because the pressure is similar, but not the same.
Well, if you look at the big states, the big antler states, most of them have a one buck limit. And they also have a mature deer herd. So I agree with you. It would change the entire look of the whitetail deer herd in Michigan if we did that, even if it was for 3 or 4 years. Now you have maturity in the herd, and as long as you don't outshoot that and just shoot it out, it will always be there year after year. But it has to change. And we've seen the point restrictions work in the areas that it's been worked on. That's one of the things I'd like to see go statewide, is just have a point restriction and let those young bucks get older and more mature so you have a developed herd in the state of Michigan.
Doug Roberts is our guest from Conquest Sense. He is also known as the Deer Professor. And Doug, let's talk about hypotheticals here. Is there a possibility that a buck can reach full maturity and still not meet antler point restrictions on the one side?
You know, there's always that possibility. There's always that one. You know, there's three types of deer, and we've talked about this, Duran. There's what I call the geniuses. They are just physically gifted. They're mentally gifted. They're the superstars. And then the majority of the deer fall in that what we call normal category. They have good common sense, they have good genetics, but they're normal. And then you do have a few that are physically and mentally challenged. They're just like people. We have those three categories in the human race. You have that in the deer race also. Could there be? Yes. But if they get older, perfect example is Commander on our farm. He had the genetics. He was a 2-inch spike as a yearling. That's all he grew. As a 2-year-old, he comes out to 176-inch, 6x6 typical.
God.
I mean, it was there, but it took a year for his body to develop enough and get what it needed to grow the genetic potential that the deer had for antler growth. And it's the same thing in the wild.
You know, you bring up a really interesting point. I was at a family gathering, and a friend of the family had showed up, and you know, I noticed some blood on the gate of his truck. I'm like, did you get a deer this morning? He's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I got this nice 8-point, and there was a spike right behind it, and I got him. I'm like, because I don't want to be that guy, but internally I'm going, no, I'm screaming at the guy, no, but externally on the outside, I'm like, I'm congratulating, because you know what? He was excited, and his tags allowed him to do that.
Well, and that's where the one buck limit would have saved that young deer that would have been potentially an 8-point or a 10-point the next year or 2 years later. You know, and that's where we all have to stand up, you know, and just go, listen, those are year-and-a-half-old deer. Let them get to 2.5 or 3.5 years old and then harvest those deer. You know, and I do the same thing. You know, congratulations, but inside I'm just going, what'd you shoot it for? We actually have to be more verbal, and you can do that in a polite manner, but it's called herd management, and it's just doing the proper thing to increase the quality of the deer herd in Michigan.
Absolutely. Doug Roberts is our guest here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You are around deer 365 days a year, 24/7, literally. I've been seeing pictures, Doug. I've been seeing pictures from around the U.S., from friends sending them to me, that they have on trail cam as they're freshening up their sights for the spring with Lucky Buck or whatever the mineral of choosing is, that there are still deer with full racks on their heads. It's April.
Well, it is, and that just means that deer is extremely healthy. It will drop those antlers, and all it means is that the new antler growth is going to start quicker, sooner, and in essence grow faster. But we had a great summer and fall last year where there was a lot of food, there was a lot of nutrient intake, so those deer were in great shape going into the rut. And then we had, overall, if you look at the country, we had a very mild winter. And there was a lot of food available without deep snow. So, again, they were able to replenish whatever they lost through the rut. So now they're holding those antlers longer. You know, we just, our last buck here, and it was a year and a half old, just dropped a week and a half ago. And that's very rare for a year and a half old buck to do that. Normally they drop sooner, but they will drop. I'm seeing the same pictures, and I'm excited to see that because that means that deer is in great shape for the antler growing season coming into this summer.
Yeah, it seemed kind of weird because I know typically we've seen a lot less pictures of deer with antlers this late in the year. And I'm glad to hear that it's gonna start growing even faster because there's really no wait time for antler growth in between dropping and then starting to regrow, is there?
Well, with a whitetail, if they drop in December, for example, and you get into January and first part of February, it's really cold, they will grow, but it's extremely, extremely slow. A lot of people would look at it and go, you know, there's nothing growing for up to 3-4 weeks. In essence, it's growing, but if they're dropping now, they'll start growing literally within a week or less than a week, and that growth rate will be faster volume per day. As we talked in the past, you know, hot, humid, hazy days in our studies years ago up in Canada, a whitetail will grow up to 2.5 inches of antler in one day, one 24-hour period. That's phenomenal, but that's a perfect scenario. That's the perfect day for them to grow that.
All right, we're speaking with Doug Roberts here, the Deer Professor, Conquest Scents. Look him up. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. We're going to speak more with Doug here in just a few minutes. We've got a lot more antler talk. Also, we're going to be talking about shed hunting with Jim Miller from Countryside Kennels coming up in a little bit as well. Keep it here. Website, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all one thing. Look for it, Wild Michigan, here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Congratulations to brother Nick Munt from the Bone Collector. Finally got himself a double-bearded turkey, man. A lot of seasons starting already, and my good friend Will Jimeno. Got a nice turkey down in Alabama. Chuck Devereaux, a gentleman I work with on the road when it comes to the Bassmaster Classic. Chuck and his buddy got a double, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hopefully get something come again on April 18th. We are looking forward to the opener of turkey season here in the spring in Michigan. If you missed any of the conversation we had with upland game bird specialist Al Clark from the Michigan Al Stewart from the Michigan DNR, go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com, click on the link for the podcast, and you can hear all of Al's conversation there. I mean, he's a wealth of information with wild turkeys, not only in Michigan, but in the world. The Deer Professor, Doug Roberts, joins us right now, conquestsense.com. And, Doug, I want to talk a little bit about this weather and what's coming up with the does as they're entering probably. Is it now their final trimester with deer? Are we that far already, or are we still a little time?
No, we are that far. You know, March, April, May is that last trimester. You know, so we should be looking for fawns in the wild second week of May through the middle of May. So at this point, fawns are developed. They're just physically growing larger inside the moms. And we've got to get this weather to start warming up and warm the ground up so when they are born that they're not getting hypothermia when they get on that cold ground.
It's, you know, I want to say the forecaster's been right. They've been really, our buddy Andy Provenzano's been really good about, he knew that this winter was going to be a pretty mild one, and you couldn't have called it better. He was right on with his forecast here on the show. And I've yet to talk to him about spring, so maybe I should find something out about that. But what are some of the things, aside from leaving the fawns alone, leaving the wild in the wild, what are some of the other things we should know about what goes on with the fawns?
Well, what you're looking at with the fawns, you know, when they're first born, you're going to get a surge here probably the end of April, 1st of May, where the does are really going to start moving a lot. What they're doing is they're trying to find that private place to go have their fawns. So, you know, vehicles, people have to be aware that they're going to all of a sudden see this surge of activity crossing roads and stuff, and to be careful. But once those fawns hit the ground, again, they're going to stay pretty much locked down for the first week or two. And they have no smell at that point in time. That's what keeps them safe from predators. But mom's going to be close. So if you find a fawn that's all curled up on the ground, that fawn is being taken care of. And mom is not far away. She's within earshot distance, most of the time sight distance. Just stay away. She'll come and get it. And sometimes they'll leave them set there for 6 to 8 hours if they feel there's a threat that they might be found by humans or a predator. But then she'll get them and she'll move them on. But once they get past that stage, they pretty much run with mom whenever they need to run and go other places.
Is there, you know, how often or how long do last year's deer stay with the doe, stay with the mother? Is there a point in time where she kicked the males out instead of females, or what's going on with that?
What you'll see is when she starts to get ready to come into heat in November, you know, when that rut period, that first rut period comes, she'll kick her fawns off. And once she's bred, quite often during the winter, December and January, those fawns will have a tendency of coming back and getting back into that family group. Deer aren't a herd animal, but they are a family animal, and they kind of stay in the same area. So it's not uncommon for them to come back together. Now, the bucks, most of the time will wander a little further off, and if they find another buck fawn or a group of yearling bucks, they might stay with that group and never go back to their mom. But the doe fawns normally will come back into that same area where their mom is from, and that's what keeps those genetic family groups in certain areas. And you see that in the antler qualities where everyone hunts. There are certain characteristics that are common to those areas. That's because of that.
Doug Roberts joining us here on Wild Michigan. I had something right there. It's one of those days that it just blanked on me. But you know, talking about the fawns and the does, and at what point in time, you know, as we go through the course of the year, will the fawns start to get a bit more adventurous and really start wandering out on their own, but yet still not far enough?
When they start wandering out a ways, you're looking at probably the middle of July, end of July, August, you know, first part of August, in that range where, you know, they're able to outrun, for the most part, a coyote, most dogs, And again, they'll still stay with their mom and they'll still be doing some nursing, but they're now eating solid food. So that solid food adventure will allow them to go a little further off on their own. So you got to be aware that, you know, if you see fawns over here, mom may be quite a ways away now, but they're always going to come back together to that family group.
Doug, what's the possibility of getting, I don't know, any kind of decent antler growth out of a 6-month-old buck?
Well, it can happen. They all grow antler, but most of them will just get what we call nubbin bucks. What's interesting with a nubbin buck is they will normally, let's say around January, believe it or not, they'll actually rub those little buggers off. They'll rub on little saplings or something like that. But that also means that that buck is able to reproduce, and that's what most people don't understand or realize. That little buck fawn at 6 months old is able to reproduce if he rubs the antler off and goes to hard antler, even if it's a half inch long.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
What we found in studies with the doe fawns, if they gain 60% of their year-and-a-half-old body weight, they will cycle in and come into heat at 6 months old. So technically, you could have a fawn, an early-born fawn, getting bred that fall and having fawns as she turns 1 year old. And that's hard. That's like a young teenage girl, mm-hmm. you know, having a baby. Not all of them know how to take care of them or what to do because they're still kids themselves. But that does happen, and it happens much more often than people think.
Now, last year, speaking with Doug Roberts here from Conquest Sense on Wild Michigan, Doug, last year, and this is the thought that I had, there was a piebald fawn that had a white face, got a lot of attention because the mother just said, looked at it and says, nope, not you. Yep. Nothing to do with you, walked away. And that'll happen just with regular deer in general. They just, for some reason, just kind of walk away from their offspring.
Well, there's a couple things that happen, Matt Durant. One, if a young doe has fawns, and let's say she has twins or triplets, heaven be, one of them is she may just not feel she can take care of all of them, so she'll normally abandon the runt and the litter. But they also have that internal instinct of knowing if something is not correct inside that fawn. There may be something that was not developed properly inside, and that fawn may not live a long life or may not live for any length of time. They have that sense of knowing that, so they're going to abandon that fawn to take care of the healthy fawn. And the third one that I've seen here on the farm, and it just amazes me, I really believe they look at some of their own kids and just go, I don't like you, and I'm not doing anything with you. And, you know, we're able to pull them off and bottle feed them, but there's nothing wrong with the fawn. There's no, you know, it's an older doe. They just look at it and go, nope, don't like you. And, you know, thank heavens people, you know, we have the common sense not to do that. But the deer, nature is abusive and it's cruel.
It is, and yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff when they can just say, nah, I don't think so. No,
yeah,
goodbye.
I've watched deer do it, and you get the fawn, and the fawn's completely fine, and the mom just looks at it like, I don't want anything to do with you.
Wow, unbelievable.
And, you know, in the wild, that fawn dies.
Absolutely.
So,
Doug Roberts, Conquest Sense. What is going on with Conquest? What's going on with the TV show Conquest 200, and what's going on with the Sense?
Oh, my goodness. The TV show Conquest 200, we are extremely busy filming, of course. The show circuit just finished, so now we're back on the farm. And, of course, we have problems with different deer. And we're extremely busy with, you know, still working, collecting product and getting ready for the fall. You know, the hunters have blessed us with keeping us busy year-round now, so that's kind of a benefit for us. But, no, we're just waiting for the antler growth, the farm to dry up, to get out, and kind of start, you know, I hate to say it, start mowing.
Yeah, well, it's part of nature, but, man, as always, appreciate you joining us here. There's a link to Conquest Sense on our website. Doug Roberts, thank you so much.
Take care. I appreciate it, Duran.
Anytime. Doug Roberts, Conquest Sense, thanks to Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Darton Archery, and Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there.
Sports.
See what's on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Whole another hour coming your way on the Michigan Talk Network.